Hi, everybody. Welcome to Blockbusting, the podcast where we love to hate the movies. I am your host, Jay Light. Joining me today, the wonderful Avra Friedman.
What up? How's it going?
Hey, I am, you know, for somebody who watched Holiday about 2 hours ago, I'm doing pretty good.
Wow, congratulations. I can't imagine how you're doing okay, but congrats to you, you know?
I think it's because I had no expectations for this movie. I remember seeing when you told me that this was the movie you wanted to do, I was like, I don't even know. I don't think I've even heard of this movie. And then I pulled it up on Netflix and I immediately remembered seeing the horrible posters around all over the city with Emma Roberts doing the weird lip bite eye roll thing that she's doing on this poster.
I just eye rolled for her, but yeah, she does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is a movie, I guess. This is a 2020...
a non-award-winning film, for sure, hopefully.
Absolutely, yeah. This really puts the capital F film, it gets that distinction. A romantic comedy film directed by John Whitesell from a screenplay by Tiffany Paulson, starring Emma Roberts, Luke Bracey, a bunch of other people. Kristen Chenoweth somehow got into this movie also. And wow. It sure is a movie. It's a weird rom-com. It came out around Christmas. It was sort of a holiday movie, but it's like all the holidays. I don't think I've seen a movie that has this many bad, inconceivable choices packed in all at once.
Wow, great description. Absolutely. I don't think I have either. I'm forever changed. I have not seen one since with anything that looks like this. And I'm a new person because of it. In the worst way possible, I am. Yeah.
Have you ever seen a movie like that you wish, I really do wish I could unsee this movie?
Oh, yeah.
And I'd never experienced that until now. But like, what you were watching this, you know, it seems like a great movie to watch as a goof with your friend, which I know is your original version of watching this. Like, tell me about that experience. Yeah. I want to hear what that time was supposed to be like.
So I watched it around the holidays when I came out with my friends. They were like, oh my God, yeah, this like new, you know, the new holiday movie is out. And normally that is not my thing in the first place. I have nothing against it. I can get behind like cheesy, fun, woohoo, watch it just for the sake of like having an enjoyable experience, even if it's like not quality, which we knew it was not going to be, but I didn't know it would be this level of bad quality. And I was like, okay, well, whatever, like, let's turn it on. Like, I would just say first scene already, I was like, I'm out. This is so extra. This does not make sense. This is too much. I don't even understand. And since when I've had friends be like, oh, but like, I know it's bad, but should I watch it? And I was like, no, like, this is a new level of bad. This isn't like Lifetime Hallmark bad. This is like, I mean, I don't have anything to describe. There's no level that it matches anything else that I've ever seen. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen a lot of bad movies. Yeah. I'm sure you've seen some of the classic bad movies, right? You know, Your Rooms, Your Troll 2s. Even those movies, it felt like there was sort of a thread going on in the story that made sense. Or there was acting that, like, somehow they managed to wrangle a good actor, you know, name or otherwise, and they show up in the movie. And this movie has all the opportunity in the world
to be fine.
Yeah. And it just isn't.
I mean, I blame it on the script almost entirely. So sorry, whoever wrote this, we won't call her out at this moment. It was probably a nice person. She probably meant well. She probably meant for people to enjoy their lives when watching it. I just think the overall wrong thing about it is basically what the world is, what the movie is setting up from the beginning is like, in a world where like you just need a date for the holidays. And it's like, no, it's really confusing because she's like, that's just what I need, but I don't need that, but I don't believe in love, but I don't want to date, but I just need anyone. And it's like, if you just need anyone, you're a hot young 20 something, like you can get anyone. Don't you realize mm-hmm. that? And then when he's like, oh, I can be like that person. And she's like, oh my God, really? You think I'd do that? It's like, bitch, that is what you asked for. Like, yes, say yes. And then she's like, oh, but no. And then like, it's not called out for like the entire movie that he's like just like stereotypically like the hottest person you can be.
The whole
time.
She's
like, why would I say yes ever? At the beginning, the middle, the end, when he's nice, when he's like, and she's just like, oh no, why would I ever go for that? Okay.
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Emma Roberts, by the way, I can't gauge how old Emma Roberts' character is supposed to be in this movie. Cause she constantly is making these references to like being the middle sibling, but both of her other siblings, one of them looks much older and the other one like looks to be about really the same old. Age. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, my younger brother. It's like, by how many years? Like, you guys are like the same and it's fine. Chill.
And she has this whole scene that happens where she runs into her ex at the candy store with his new girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh my God, he's dating a teen, but they look the same age.
Oh my God. No, I would say maybe that girl even looks older than
her. Even older, yes.
And she's like, it's a baby. And I was like, honey, are you 5 years old? Like, what is happening? It's very confusing. The age thing in this film, didn't even think about it. Yeah.
Age thing is weird. Really, I mean, there's so much about this movie that it's so baffling that this whole movie came to exist. Like, the basic plot of the movie for anyone who hasn't seen it, and I never say this, do not watch this movie.
You never say that. Okay.
I never tell people to not watch. Like, I just saw Old, and I hated Old, but I loved Old because of how bad it was, and I think you should watch it. But Holiday, it's like, it's bafflingly bad. And I remember I started writing notes and I was like, okay, the acting is really terrible, but there's a couple like funny lines here and there. And then I started writing. I was like, oh no, the writing is also terrible. And oh no, I have to sit here for over an hour and a half and just watch this train wreck unfold.
Yeah. Well, I watched it for the second time because I had to prepare for this podcast. So fuck you is what I'm saying. And when I watched it, I was like, oh my God, well, I got to be prepared for this. So I'm going to take notes. But it's like scene one, I already had like 15 notes. I was like, I can't note every single thing that happens in the whole movie. So I think I just have to stop. Like, there's enough. Just like if you showed someone 30 seconds, they'd be like, oh wow, like I could talk for 30 minutes on the 30 seconds, which is not how this should be. But
this is not how this should be. The moment that Kristen Chenoweth said that somebody sculpted her clitoris to look like a butterfly taking wing. I was like, how is there a female screenwriter who wrote this movie who incorrectly describes a clitoris?
Yeah, great. Wow, who is this? I don't want to call her out too much, but I fully want to call her out. Like, who did that?
So her name is Tiffany Paulson. She's written a few movies. She wrote Adventures in Babysitting, the remake.
Oh, wow. Congrats.
She wrote the Nancy Drew movie from 2007.
Okay. Oh, starring Emma Roberts.
Emma Roberts is in that. Okay.
She's Nancy Drew, of course.
Wait, is Emma Roberts in Adventures in Babysitting also?
I don't know, because I did not see that. I saw Nancy Drew. Maybe did.
Looking into it. No, it does have somebody named Jet Juergensmeyer, who's playing a character named Bobby Anderson, but no Emma Roberts, as far as I can.
Right.
She did a bunch of stuff. Mostly TV movies. She did a TV movie called Turkey Drop, which is a small town girl who started her freshman year at a big city university. She, I guess, is like went from writing normal teen kind of movies to Hallmark. Sub Hallmark level movies.
Well, I think she wanted to do like a progressive Hallmark kind of movie. Like, we're advanced. Like, we don't need, it's such a weird line of like, we don't need men. Oh my God, we need men so much. We need men. Oh my God, help men. But like, we're too good for that. We don't want like men. Like, what is love? We don't need it. But like, give me. Like, the whole time she just like rides the like ginormous switch. And like, even there was like a line where like Emma Roberts was talking about like, I can wear a slutty dress and won't be slut shamed. I was like, aren't we like not even supposed to use the word slut? So weren't you like out on the first line? And this is like the most anti-feminist thing ever. It's like, what the f-?
Yeah, I can't, there's no, none of the characters in this movie have a viewpoint that tracks at all.
Sure.
Everybody is at best a stereotype and at worst, totally aimless.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's also like, okay, there's one thing. If the movie was just like, I really need a date for the holiday, and then we accidentally fall in love, okay, that's probably also already been done, so it's fine. But it's like, I need a date for the holiday, but I don't need one and I'm cruising one, but actually I do need one. And not only that, I need one for, oh, let's go down the list. St. Patrick's Day, Easter, Halloween. There's a huge party for every single one that it's going to look really weird if I don't show up. No, honey, do you know how the world works? Like, do you even celebrate all those things? Like, really, St. Patrick's Day, it's going to be, like, awkward if you're alone on St. Patrick's Day? Oh, okay.
Yeah, people are going to be like, yeah, how come nobody showed up with a date to get wasted at a bar crawl and drink green beer? Why?
Yeah. Even from, like, the first event she went to, the, like, New Year's party, she was like, oh, my God, thank God I have someone here. And I was like, why are you even there? That looks like a fancy-ass, ginormous party that you didn't even need to attend and, you know, like, one person.
Mm-hmm.
Also, she was like fun in there for like a hot second and not the like kind of biatch person that she is. And I was like, oh, are you like the best person ever? And then I was like, wait, no, she's not.
So yeah, that's the thing. I think part of what made me so angry about this movie also is that it does, at first, it seems like it is going to be at least watchable. Like, you know, in the way that a Hallmark movie is not good, but it's watchable, right? And you can sit there. And at least you're like, oh, I can tune in and out of this thing. I don't have to be paying attention. In this, I feel like if I wasn't paying attention, then I would be completely lost, which is not how a movie that is this aimless should feel.
No, exactly.
There's just so many, like...
So much.
The characters, the leads are unlikable. The co-stars are unlikable. The most likable person in the whole movie is Emma Roberts' sister, who is played by Jessica Capshaw, Abby. Alex Moffat's good in this movie, too. Yeah, she seems human, and he seems human, even though they're both sort of pitched up in the way that, like, you they're stereotypes.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But, also, like, the little girl was, like, totally a stereotype, but, like, some moments where I was like, okay, that's like a fun time to just watch the little girl.
But even being a stereotype, there's not a whole lot you can do as an actor. And like when you have somebody who is an actor who I really like Kristen Chenoweth, who I have loved in a bunch of stuff.
Oh, yeah. And great.
To watch her in this and just feel like there's so much left on the table creatively that – it feels like if the script was better and if the direction was better, then maybe she would be able to break out of this sort of creative doldrum that I think she was in this whole movie.
Yeah.
Cause like she really gets a raw deal. She is, you know, set up to be, oh, well I'm the aunt who's sort of flighty and I have a different date to every holiday. And she sets, you know, she coins the name of the movie for Emma Roberts' character for Sloane. And it's just, but then she just is sad the entire rest of the movie and is like stealing her date at a wedding and doing all this stuff that like, it just doesn't make sense. Like the laxative thing at the party doesn't make sense. How does any of this, it just feels like these characters are all in a way that I hate how transparent it is. They're all just vehicles to be like, uh-oh, what's about to happen now?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see what's going to happen. Let's see what wacky predicament we accidentally put Emma Roberts and Luke Bracey into.
Yeah. Also, I always wonder, like, when you're talking about Kristen Chenoweth and that she's done all these great things and blah, 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 and we've loved her 1,000 times. Like, was she making this being like, oh my God, this is so funny and I love it. It's hysterical. So glad I'm doing that. Was she like, oh, you know, I just really need money right now. Oh, like, you know, Netflix movie, big deal. Have a break in my schedule. Like, are people aware while making this, like, this fucking blows. Like, this is not good. This is horrific. Or is it just like, also because like some of the lines I'm like, oh, that would be like fun to say / do, but like, it's not good. And like, I guess you're doing it for fun. I always wonder. I always wonder that.
I always do too. I feel like when I see somebody who is a, I know is a good actor in a bad movie.
Yeah.
And they are not putting on a good performance, then it feels like it's a direction problem. You know, cause I've seen, again, plenty of bad movies where good actors show up and they put on a performance that is entertaining and fun, and they show that they have those chops. But Kristen Chenoweth in this just doesn't work. And that's a that's a huge problem for everybody making this movie. When you have somebody who is a gifted, talented person who comes off as unlikable and bad, it just doesn't work.
We're sad. I was sad to see that.
I would like to talk about I would like to talk about the tone of this movie. I think
say tone's plural, but
Well, I think the question that I have is for you is, you know, now that you've seen it twice, and again, I'm so sorry. You've watched this movie enough to know, hey, there's a bevy of problems with it. And I don't even know, as somebody who's only seen it once, I don't even know where to begin to fix it.
Yeah.
Where I think the most obvious thing to me is the casting of the leads. Emma Roberts, Luke Bracey, I think they're completely miscast. I think pretty much everybody in this movie is completely miscast. But those two especially, I don't buy Emma Roberts as a good rom-com lead, at least based on my experience watching her in this. I don't like Luke Bracey in this. Are there other actors who you think would be a better fit for those roles?
I don't know, because I'm also like, is it just that the character, I mean, I personally don't think Emma Roberts is just like the strongest actor in general. So I'm just going to like say that, like probably a nice person, so don't want to be too rude to her, but like, I would say like her acting is like not an impressive thing to me. Mm-hmm. That being said, I also feel like the characters are just so badly written. And again, it's like that confusing thing of like flip flop, like, oh my God, I like need to meet the love of my life. Oh my God, I hate love. Wait, I just want to have nice love. Okay, don't want love ever again. Oh my God, I'm off love. But like, wait, where's my love? Like, then I don't know who I could believe playing that ever, because I'm just like, I'm confused. So that could partially be her fault, but partially, again, the writing of the like, what do you need? Because like, that's the basic thing that I should know and understand by watching the movie. Like, what are you after? And like,
right.
I'm just like not totally sure.
We never really get a clear idea of what she's after. And she is constantly going back and forth between, you know, wanting to be single and have a fun time and outwardly saying this. Yeah. But then also, instead of having the internal struggle and having that play out in a private way on screen, like we have seen many times in rom-coms, we have her flip-flopping on camera back and forth, being played like a fool, and it just doesn't work. Like, you can't she can't be all of the things at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean,
it's a tricky acting challenge to pick somebody who would be able to play all of the things at the same time, because I don't want to put anybody up to that.
No one deserves that. It's not fair.
No one deserves that. 100% not fair.
Yeah.
But then you have Luke Bracey, who's playing this one note guy for the most part.
The most one note ever. Super,
you know, he gets this, you know, he has a stereotypical rom-com guy thing of being like a guy who's not really interested at first and then comes around. But then also you find out at the very end of the movie that he's like been super interested the whole time and was just downplaying
it. Which I don't even believe. Like, I just don't, then show us that like behind Emma Roberts' back, but I just don't even believe it. Also, he's like I would say not likable to me.
Yes, he is, and very like, unlikable.
Wow, when you make, like, it's really hard to be that hot and not likable. Like, how did you even do that? But you're right, the one note thing totally makes sense. And he's just like kind of like, I'm going to talk and I'm really hot, but I'm lost in his hotness because I don't think he's enjoyable and I don't like him.
Like, when you see on screen a hot guy get his finger blown off and you don't feel any sympathy for him. Especially because he's a professional golfer. He has to use his hands to play golf, and he's not going to be able to. He's probably not going to be able to golf properly ever again.
Yeah, but yeah.
I don't give a shit about any of this because I don't like him.
I don't care. Yeah. I mean, I don't really like either of them, but I guess he maybe had a better chance of being likable and he lost for me. He lost. Yeah. Like, so I guess, therefore, great. You're a great pair because, like, you're both kind of, like, biatch people that I don't care about. So have fun if that's going to really work for you, which I still don't think it will. There's also, she needs to go to therapy.
But, she definitely needs to go to therapy, for sure. She has so many issues about just every aspect of her life that she needs to unpack and refuses to unpack. Her mom, oh, poor. I feel so bad for everybody in this family.
Everyone,
If that's how their mom treats Emma Roberts on camera, can you imagine how badly she treats her other siblings off camera?
No. Oh my God. Yeah. Wow. That was very sad. It makes sense why it's this way. Yeah.
I've also never seen a movie ever where there's so much discussion of sex that happens with children in front of their parents and the parents are not at least acting horrified.
No. Oh my God. Even like from the start. Oh, I think it's funny when you mentioned tone and like when the Luke Bracey guy goes home to, with his like ex-girlfriend's parents for the holiday. And then she's like, I let you come in my mouth. And it's this whole like dance of like over the top, like stylized filmmaking. It's like, are we watching SNL for like 4 seconds of this movie? And it happens during that. And also like, are we going to call out? That's really weird. Are we going to call out 1,000 things basically? I don't know.
There's
Netflix and fancy and everyone watched.
I don't even understand. So Netflix, all right. So I think a lot of the stylization of this movie also has to do with the fact that you have Mick G as an EP on it. And, you know, he's been doing all, you know, he did the Charlie's Angels remakes and he did a Terminator and he did the Babysitter franchise. And he's done all sorts of very stylized, hyper-realistic, weird tonally all sorts, you know, like the dynamic camera movements and all the stuff that like you see in this movie that doesn't feel like it's anything you'd ever seen a rom-com. I can appreciate the fact that that stuff exists in this movie, but you have to have either the writing or the acting to back it up. And certainly not having either of those things is a real, real detriment to this movie.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Wow. Like, even without watching, if I just read the script, I'd be like, that's not. No.
I think if there was a movie that that could be made here, like, with these characters in a way that, like, I actually felt like there was something going on. Like I've noticed this more and more in bad movies. I find, I don't know if you've had this experience also, but I see in bad movies, there's always like at least one or two other movies that could have happened with these same characters and it would have been a much better movie.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Okay. I mean, you definitely watch more bad movies than me based on just this podcast, but, okay, cool. Well, I hope you do.
At this point, like I recognize there are certainly more interesting characters who, for whatever reason, you know, I don't know if it's an exact thing. I don't know if it's a creative thing on the part of the director or the writer. But there's interesting characters who don't get their fair shake in a movie like this. I really wish that, like, if I were to change the movie and have it be anywhere close to palatable, I would much rather see Kristen Chenoweth's character go through this sort of journey that we know she goes through over the course of the movie. You know, like she eventually winds up with somebody after spending her entire life
40 years younger.
Holidaying. But still, it's like, hey, I want to see that journey. I want to see the person who not only do I know is a better actor than Emma Roberts is, but also can probably play different notes. And there's a much more interesting story there than Emma Roberts, who's like coming off of a breakup that she just can't get over, but she doesn't want to be with anybody, but she wants to be with somebody, but she doesn't want to be with anybody, and she definitely doesn't want to have sex with anybody, but like, oh my God, is it okay if we have sex? Maybe. I just think that there's so much more fodder for story with Aunt Susan than there ever will be for Sloan.
Yeah, totally. Wow, that's so interesting. Yeah. Well, also, then it makes me sad because, like, people like Kristen Chenoweth of that age, sorry, women in Hollywood, whatever, like, are never going to have their own movie, especially like a holiday movie. Like, we don't want to watch like old people, whatever. She is like 50 something, I don't know, whatever. But that's so true. And it's so sad.
God, remember when,
it's a good point.
When Wicked came out and we were all like, oh, Wicked's going to be made into a movie. And then Kristen Chenoweth and Idina Menzel are going to be able to play their characters. And now that's, I mean, if Wicked ever comes out, they're never going to be in there. And that's
also
such a shame.
I feel like we should not have thought that, because at the time, like on stage, you can play whatever. Like, I think Kristen Chenoweth was like 45 when that came out, or like 40, and she was supposed to be like 20. So, but I still would have wanted her to play it regardless.
God, she would have been so great.
So good. I hope she's in it. I hope
sure
that movie gets
be.
Made
find
also.
A way.
But just a side note.
They'll
and I hope
find a
it's
way.
Not on this podcast. It'll be so good.
Avra, if there is a way to fix this movie, and that's a Herculean task, I recognize this is a lot to ask, but how would you fix it?
Wow. Wow. That
is it possible?
So overwhelming. It's possible if you were like, you're allowed to name 300 ways. I could name 300 ways, but if you're just like, how could you just like fix it? Like, what's a thing to do? I'm lost. Like one thing, like no, or even one big thing. No, I mean, no, like it was so weird because it felt like it was like 5 hours long. And then like, it was an hour and 40 minutes. Like that is very normal movie length. Mm-hmm. And they had to go through all the holidays, which I was like, oh, cute, fun, great concept. Also no, cause we didn't need a date for every holiday. Also, like, wow, amazing that they crammed that in an hour 40 minutes, but also felt like 5 hours, so not amazing. Wow, sorry, I digress. How to fix this?
I mean, is there a way? Like, because I think we're starting to get to a point now where, you know, there's a definite distinction between a holiday movie and a Hallmark movie, and as streaming services continue to make original content, they're going to be making stuff too. Like, I didn't see it, but I know Happiest Season came out, I think, around the same time as this, and it got much better reviews.
I heard it was like good. Like, people recommended that you watch it. Yeah. Which no one recommended this to me. And I did not recommend it to others. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, anybody who watched this movie didn't watch it expecting anything good. They expected it watching like, the only Christmas Hallmark movie that comes to mind is a movie called The Christmas Carousel, which I watched because my mom was like, I want to watch this Hallmark movie while you're home visiting me. And I was like, I'll watch this. Sure. And A Christmas Carousel, at least, like, as absurd of a concept as it is, which is the premise of this movie, Avra, is an ancient kingdom has a carousel that a woman from the U.S. who's a carousel repair business is contracted to come repair this carousel. But at least it's like, it's absurd, but it makes sense.
No, yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure it's like, it's so easy to digest. Like, you could write it yourself in 5 minutes. I know how it starts, middles, and ends right now, just from you talking about it and me knowing what like that kind of movie is like. So it's like, fine. But also, like, really inspired by your mom that she, like, wanted you to watch. That's so, like, wow. Love her.
She,
great person.
I mean, look, she's great. And she's broadening my horizons every day because she helps me see what a Christmas movie that you're just getting paid to crank out.
Yeah.
That's what it can be. Like, it can be that easy. It doesn't have
fine.
To be this.
It doesn't have to be this.
Holiday.
And, like, if you want to be different, which I feel like they obviously want to be, like, progressive, different, whatever, that probably was accomplished via Happiest Season, which also probably was well-written and, like I don't know, actually had, like, meaning where, like, I didn't find any like, what did we learn from this? And I feel like you have to learn something in a Christmas movie, regardless if it's, like, usual Christmas movie or, like, weird Christmas movie or different or whatever. But, like, what did we learn?
Nothing.
No.
We learned
okay, cool.
nothing. We learned we should have not watched this movie.
Okay.
Is what we
that's the only thing I learned. So
that's the only thing I learned.
Yeah.
I mean, even just if you boil it down to like the log lines, you know, I'm looking at the Happiest Season log line right now.
What is that?
It's a film follows a woman who struggles to come out to her conservative parents while she and her girlfriend visit them during Christmas.
Love it.
That's, I get it. I know. I haven't seen it, but I have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen in the movie, what those beats are going to be.
Yeah.
And in this, instead, the whole premise of Holiday is, oh, well, somebody is dumped and they want to have a date for all the holidays. So it's like a concept that is not only invented,
yeah,
but totally. Is completely absurd in a way that's not like believably absurd in the, oh, there's a lady who has a carousel repair business that a prince from a foreign country needs her to repair his beloved carousel in time for Christmas.
No, no. Yeah. Right. It's just like, it's just so far off. Like,
it's just, so far off.
It's just so, I'm lost. I'm lost before I've even started, is the truth.
Avra, when you and your friends watched this movie afterwards, were you guys okay? Were y'all doing all right?
I would argue no. I don't remember us having like alcohol, which like definitely would have been necessary and helpful. Yeah. It wasn't like a party. It wasn't like, oh, I'll look over occasionally and see some like weird shit on the screen, whatever, we're at a party, it's fine. It was like, we watched that as like, that was our evening activity, the sole focus being the movie, which Lord, no. Mm-hmm. And like so many times we were like, oh my God, like cringe, head over forehead, crying, like, should we stop? Should we keep going? Is this even legal? Like, what is happening? So no, I would say no. I would say this is like by absolute far the worst movie I've ever seen.
Wow. I mean, I hope it stays that way and you don't watch any worse movies. Is there, in order to mend your holiday movie friendship with your friends, is there something that you are going to watch next time? Like, what would you have picked instead of Holiday?
Wow. I mean, I love a good Love Actually, you know?
Okay.
So like a holiday movie that's actually like, oh, it's actually a good movie that does happen to take place during the holidays, but like would watch it anytime. Mm-hmm. I could watch that every year. I would watch that 1,000 times before watching fucking Holiday. But also like, I'd be down to check out Happiest Season. So if that's what this entire episode is a commercial for, that's fine. And I accept it. Hopefully it's good, but I know it's better.
I take off my mask and reveal that I've been Dan Levy this entire time.
Oh my God. Love your work.
Thank you. Yeah. I feel like having watched this, now I owe it to myself to watch Happiest Season to see what the modern holiday movie can be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have a feeling it could be totally fine and great. Totally. Yeah.
I think it
can. And simple and really simple.
There's no need for a movie that we all know we're watching just basically to have on as like eye candy comfort food.
Yeah.
To be
eye candy plus like outlandishness.
Yeah. Like I'm fine with, look, hey, I'm fine with a movie that is a little bit gratuitous and vulgar in the way that Holiday is, you know, like, hey, I can't handle that, but I just wish that it was good, at least, or not even good. At least I wish that it at least had structure and that it made mm-hmm. sense and that it wasn't just arbitrary.
Totes. Yeah. I mean, if there was payoff to the jokes in Holiday, it's fine. Like, I'm not like, wow, they used the F word. Like, no, obviously I'm not that kind of person. I don't care. But it's just like, mm-hmm. we're going to say something so big and crazy. No laugh because not fucking funny. No.
Nope.
So no payoff.
If you're listening to this, please don't watch Holiday. Please don't. I implore you.
Please. Oh my God.
And I tried to tell people. Enough.
Yeah. I really tried to tell people because everyone was like, you must just not like those frou-frou, silly, cheesy holiday movies. And I was like, it's not that. Like, mm-hmm. I wish. That's fine. That's fine. But no.
You know what's crazy, by the way, is that in January of this year, Netflix reported that 68 million households watched Holiday.
No.
Now, it's too many.
Any number is too many, but that's like way too many. That is like wildly too many. Yeah.
To be fair, I think that I think that Netflix's metric is like only the first 5 minutes. So maybe a lot of people watched this turned it off is my hope. Mm-hmm. And that it wasn't a bunch of people who actually did watch it all the way through. But, 68 million households. That could be multiple people. There could be tens of hundreds of millions of people who've been subjected to this movie.
Yeah.
I'm just mad. This is irresponsible filmmaking.
This is so rude. This is not nice. Also irresponsible, like, just targeting of holiday movie watchers, which are probably really nice people like your mom, and then they turn this on and we're like, oh.
Yeah. Look, my mom doesn't need to watch an R-rated holiday movie. My mom doesn't need to
Wait, was Holiday R-rated?
It was not rated. It was rated TVMA for foul language and smoking, which does happen within the first... Not even minute. I think in the first 30 seconds as you see her smoking and then she, and then she says fucking holidays or fucking Christmas or something like that.
Oh, right. Wow. Great point. Great point. Yeah.
I mean, they also if there's, how can a movie where people are smoking weed in a hospital be as bad as this? How? That's a great comedic set piece and you fucked it up.
Yeah. Right. Like if you were just like, that's the beginning. Sure.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. People smoking weed in a hospital? Yeah, I'd love to see that in a Hallmark movie.
And like fucking holidays. Yeah.
Fucking holidays. Great.
Fucking holidays.
I'm fine. Fucking holiday.
I think she meant, though, unfortunately, every single holiday, which, no, I don't align with that. What? I'm sorry, I don't even know every holiday. How did you fit them all in one movie? I don't know.
They put listen, it's because they had a wedding on Labor Day. That's how they shoehorned in the rest of the holidays.
Oh, wow. That's so true. Yeah.
They didn't put in. They didn't put in Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples Day or whatever, whatever part of the country in where it is called. if this is Chicago, I don't know what they're calling it in Chicago. They didn't put in anything else. Rude. Just rude. Bad. Just bad. I hate it. I'm so sad. I'm glad we did this podcast. I'm glad we finally got. This feels like a very cathartic experience.
I needed to let it out. Yeah.
But damn, Avra, I hope that you can forgive me for making you watch this movie twice.
I'll think about it, yeah.
Okay, one day, maybe. Sure. In the meantime, where if by some insane piece of coincidence, there is somebody who likes this movie and they want to try and convince you, Where can they hit you up on your social medias and say, hey.
Oh my God, please don't hit me up. But if you really feel the need and know that I might not respond and I won't be responding, I'm at Avra Friedman, A-V-R-A, Friedman spelled like fried man on literally everything because thank God it's not taken. What up? So yeah, don't hit me up or do, but please know that you can't change my mind. Yeah,
don't even statement. Try it. Just don't follow Avra and see what she's up to. And don't say anything to her about Holiday ever again. Avra, this has been a very fun time. And I'm so glad to have you on. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
If you like the podcast, tell a friend. You can find me at Diet J on Twitter and Instagram. JLightComedy.com for show dates. And follow Avra at Avra Friedman and all that stuff to see what she's up to. And this has been Blockbusting. Go see something good for a change.
Woo!
Woo!